This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. In a first-of-its-kind prostate organoid grown from human embryonic stem cells has enabled researchers to show that exposure to something we call bisphenol A is a chemical in many plastic can actually cause overproduction of prostate stem cells in the developing organ. If you think about bisphenol A, or something that we refer to as BPA, it seems to be one of the biggest scientific controversies over the past decade. And we have in the studio with us, of course, Dr. George Lee. It's Friday. And,
Good afternoon.
I know, and the link of BPA to prostate cancer. And in the studio with us as well, Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Mohammad, who's the professor of the Department of Pathology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya. And hello. Professor Mustafa has actually done a show with us in 2011, two shows on BPA and one on something called phthalates.
Yes,
right again, right again.
Both the plastics, both present in plastics, and you'd be surprised where it actually exists. Professor,
Prof and I have worked together, you know, many years ago, right? Again, you know, at UH. And then, so obviously, I'm very, very excited about this. And well, I'm actually excited for two reasons. Number one, I think, you know, this is a fantastic article because it's obviously related to prostate, and that sort of thing turns me on, I guess, right? Okay.
Always,
Josh. Always, you know, so easily turned on. So that's quite embarrassing. Okay. And then the other thing, which I think is quite interesting, is this organoid, right? Okay.
It sounds like something from outer space.
Well,
what do you mean
by an organoid? Actually, they make it sound sexy, but the thing is, it's not that sexy. It's organoid, like something that looks like an organ. So organoid.
Okay.
So it's easy as that. You know, see, so you're quite easily turned on as well.
Never.
That's right. So you can have an organoid of a brain. It's like a few days. I think yesterday I heard on That Time of Night show, they were talking about somebody's growing a brain that is almost like a size of a tip of a pencil, you know, a human brain. And essentially, this is growing a prostate in a petri dish that looks like an organoid. So I'm excited. I'm excited for one thing. I'm quite excited to hear what Prof have got to say about it. Because from now on, that means that we don't probably have to sacrifice that many animals for animal testing. Because we can grow an organoid of a prostate, and then we can grow an organoid of a brain, and then we can try all sorts of medications on this.
Okay. So after growing this organoid, what they found is exposure to bisphenol A, it affected the prostate stem cells in the developing
That's
organ.
The second part I'm interested in.
That's why Professor's here. Professor, why don't you just go back a little bit to the basics? Where do we find bisphenol A and what is it?
Okay, maybe I need to reintroduce the bisphenol A concept for the audience. Actually, bisphenol A is a synthetic chemical that is used very widely in industries. They are used more highly used in plastic materials. In a simple way, they are used to make plastics hard and lasting to time. That means most plastics will not turn yellow upon exposure to air and weather. So they are preservative to plastics. And this material is produced in abundance and is very cheap and is used in a lot of industries. For example, the Coca-Cola or the canned rings. Not Coca-Cola alone. This is canned rings. Their cans are lined with bisphenol A. And plastic materials like baby feeding bottles are made with bisphenol A. And unfortunately, when they make this material with bisphenol A, this bisphenol A may degrade and leach out into the content of the material. So that is where the problem starts. Bisphenol A is a long polymer. And when you break down, it becomes a single polymer.
Right.
So the long polymer is a polycarbonate.
Mm.
And when it breaks down, it releases bisphenol A.
So let me get this right. What you're saying is that this is a man-made material that we use it in a lot of plastic containers and so on and so forth, probably in the last 2 to 3 decades or so. It's intended to be a long polymer, but with heat and all sorts of changes, it will just break into monomers. And it, which can cause all sorts of havoc.
Okay.
Should we be worried? Because I begin to be worried
here. Yeah, I mean, and it's a really interesting topic because because our canned food, our we use so much plastics in this country. And
everywhere.
You know, Professor, this debate continues, and I'm still skeptical about it. I know you're convinced, but I'm not still, because after all the reading I've done, there seems to be contradicting research all over the place. When I read that France has actually banned the manufacture of any form of food container that contains BPA, is banned.
Yes, correct.
It's banned. France made that stand in January. It made it stand in January.
Okay.
So it's a big problem in Europe, because now all European, anybody who exports to France now needs to change their packaging to BPA-free packaging when it comes to food.
Okay.
Malaysia
has
banned baby feeding bottles.
Correct.
Banned BPA in the use
in
of...
In baby feeding bottles.
Correct.
Yes.
So, you know, then I'm thinking there must be some truth to this. Or are we just being... are these just precautionary steps?
Actually, if you ask me, it is no more precautionary
approach. The evidence is quite strong.
Evidence is quite strong, and it is out already in very established scientific papers like Lancet and so on. And there's a lot of evidence to show that there is certain biological activity. And initially, the main activity that is expressed by bisphenol A is estrogenic.
Okay.
They are estrogenic chemicals. They behave like estrogen, but the effect of this chemical is not equivalent to estrogenic.
Okay, that explains a lot about me now.
It's an inhibitor, isn't it?
It is not an inhibitor. It is binding to the estrogen receptors.
Right. So it's got configurations that actually fool our body to think that this is actually a female hormone.
Correct.
Hence, this particular article is quite relevant, is because in prostate cancer, we obviously are powered by testosterone. Yeah. However, whenever there is fooled by these kind of like, materials that mimics estrogen, then that might turn cancerous. Yes. I mean, it's like, seriously? I mean, how... I mean, this is obviously done in Illinois, in a Petri dish on an organoid, in a Petri dish in Chicago. I mean, do you project that looking forward in 10 years' time, that the evidence become more and more robust, that we need to start, withdrawing BPA from the food chain and also the container industry?
Yes, evidence is getting more clearer now, and... more evidence are coming daily, actually.
Oh, right.
And a lot of scientists are working on this across the globe. And the results seems to be more clearer.
Right.
And evidence are becoming clearer. And the pathway is already elucidated. That means a lot of these mechanisms are acting on the adipocyte, adipogenesis.
What does that
pathway?
Mean?
The production of adipose tissue, which can later lead to obesity as well.
All right, okay. So what you're saying is that because... I have to be very careful here because we're talking about female hormone here. Right? So what you're saying is that these kind of artificial stimulation of female hormone due to these kind of like artificial character, artificial configuration of these characters, it will stimulate deposit of fat a normal person,
correct,
male or female, and then will cause obesity.
Obesity as well.
Right. So you've got two evidence now. Now, one is that a lot of the work shows that they may have be carcinogenic changes. It may actually be result, maybe the question or the answer to why are we the fattest nation in Southeast Asia, right? Something like 42%.
Well, the whole world
is it, and then Malaysia is particularly is pretty bad.
Yes.
And is there anything else that, with this kind of like habit that the estrogen-like effect it will have on people?
Okay, the latest one is a finding on effect on the pancreatic cells.
Right.
Yes.
So is that reducing the hormone production and
reducing insulin production?
Insulin production.
And causing early diabetes or type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
See, that means the cell...
I'm going to challenge that because there was a top research institution in the US under the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the US FDA. They carried out a study tracking BPA levels in blood and urine and they found that BPA concentrations rise and fall throughout the day as we eat.
Okay.
So when is the best time to actually check for BPA? And are these people, all of these people who are doing the study, are they all doing it at the same time? This was funded by the EPA.
Okay.
Right?
When you say blood levels, these are two different things when you are talking about the tissue levels. The effects on the tissue inside, yes. Where the tissue which has higher lipids has higher ability to preserve the bisphenol A. This bisphenol A is a lipid-soluble chemical. They accumulate more in the lipid, high-lipid tissues and organs. So if somebody is fat, for example, they have high lipids, they can harbor more bisphenol A, whereas the blood level is very little.
So what, Prof, you're suggesting is that the measurement in the blood is not necessarily relevant.
It's not relevant in terms of the biological effect.
Okay. Well, actually, yes. For that study, I have some probably, bones to pick with that. Because what it's suggesting is that the fluctuating concentration of BPA in the blood may not be responsible for this. But that is making the argument that the effect is dose-dependent. So you have higher dose of BPA, then you have more problems. But the BPA might just be an instantaneous effect. It might not be dose-dependent. It might be people who are more susceptible, just like one hit might get its transformation. So that might answer that.
So what? But then it does reach our internal tissues.
The tissues, the certain organs has got certain capability of producing certain hormones and all that. So if the organs is relevant to the functions, for example, the pancreas is relevant to the production of insulin. So if that tissue harbors more bisphenol A, the receptors are all blocked. So there is a malfunction, literally malfunction in the organs.
Okay.
So the effect is more prominent.
Okay. I mean, I want the Klang Valley listeners to join in the conversation,
yeah.
Right?
What
okay.
Do you think?
Right. The thing is that we only have these food containers emerging in the last 2 decades, 20 years ago, Mira is too young to remember that, right? Okay, 20 years ago, when we go and buy our nasi, right? Okay, they all come in the newspaper wrappings,
yes.
And then that sort of things, and banana leaves,
yes,
right?
Banana
now,
leaves.
Banana leaves were probably more expensive because they're more trendy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and now it's pure reason of convenience that we're going to have those little white containers.
And
polystyrene contains BPA.
Polystyrene,
or not?
No. Polystyrene is a different category.
Oh, right, okay.
It doesn't contain bisphenol A.
Because I hate those polystyrene.
So do
I. They look like a white coffin. I absolutely hated that. Well, so a lot of things is convenience, right? Because we want it convenience, we want it cheap. And so do we. Are figures like this, statistics like this, to say that, because of these in the system actually make you more fat, more susceptible to diabetes, and also carcinogenic, perhaps many, many years to come, will that change your practice? If, Prof Mustafa here is advocating that BPA is bad for you, is that data good enough for you to say that, okay, from now on, I'm going to go as natural as possible, and then even though that might be a bit costly, and even though that might be a bit more inconvenient?
Or do you think it's exaggerated? Do you think the body eliminates this sort of toxin?
No, actually, the use of BPA, actually, I'm not trying to tell people not to use materials that contains BPA. Because not all the time the BPA is leaching out its components into the food. It happens at certain condition and situation. If you have high heat, the leaching is more.
Right.
If you have scratches, the leaching is more. So these are values, parameters that can increase the leaching. If you keep cold water in a plastic container for a long time, the leaching is very minimal.
Okay, Prof, so, let's get back, because I always assume those white containers actually have got BPA, polystyrene, right? Yeah. Can you be more specific about what should I avoid?
Remember Professor said in his early statements that it gives you the clear material. So if your plastic is clear, then there's a high chance it has BPA.
Okay.
Polystyrene is not clear.
The BPA is a polycarbonate.
Okay.
Polycarbonate, you can figure out already roughly, you see the polycarbonate roof and all that.
All right.
So, what it is doing, the BPA makes the plastic harden.
Right.
So, it is used to harden the plastic. Another material used to make the plastic soft is called phthalates.
Yes.
Phthalates is also an obesogen, they call it.
Right.
Can cause obesity.
Okay.
But let's put phthalate aside first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't confuse the people. So the bisphenol A is used to strengthen plastics.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it contains in many plastic materials. It is not plastic. It is not plastic that we know of. It is material to preserve plastics.
Okay.
It makes plastic last longer, prevent oxidation and all that. So these are polymers put inside there. And it contains BPA is found in many other things. It's not only...
Not only food containers.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
You'll be surprised.
We'll come back and find out.
So, because,
yeah.
Professor, when you find out where it exists...
Where it is, then you'll be scared because, you know, you might as well give up, right? That's right. That's what I was thinking about.
That's coming up. If you have a question for Professor Mustafa, give us a call. The number is 0377109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi. It's our Health and Living segment. Friday, of course, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, in for his weekly show. How can I forget? My God. 7 years on every Friday.
No.
Almost every Friday he's been here, George. We've lost count of your podcasts.
I'm counting.
Yeah. And we also have in the studio with us Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Muhammad. He's a professor at the Department of Pathology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya. And we're discussing a recent study on chemicals in plastics, something called bisphenol A. And they found that it could stimulate the overproduction of prostate stem cells, thereby increasing a man's risk of cancer. And we are trying to find out a little bit more about BPA and what it really is. Let's make it clear. It's not a plastic. It's something that's added on to plastic to soften it,
To harden it.
Yes. I apologize. Yes. And it's present anywhere from water bottles to carbonless receipts. Is that true?
Yes.
Carbonless receipts.
Yes.
Okay, George. Why don't you go on?
Go on to the list.
Tell us where else BPA actually is.
Okay. BPA is definitely a very widely applicable chemical, and it is very useful. They are used to line cans, so that it's not rusty when they are exposed to very toxic, strong chemicals like acid and all that. For example, if you have juice, orange juice in the aluminium can, if you don't line with this material, the can will be rusty. They are also used on PVC PVC material. They are also used in your CD, the surface of the CD.
Mm-hmm.
They also use in the bags, in your some cheap handphones, your plastic material, your mouse, your keyboard, and all that. They can use BPA, and also in the household material like screen and all that. The doors, they are very widely used because this chemical is quite robust.
Oh, right. So essentially, it's almost like a protective layer of many things to make it stronger.
Yes. But the good news is not airborne. As in, you cannot just, inhale this thing unless it's under certain conditions,
yes.
You were saying.
When it is, when you use some material, it scratches the material and they come out as monomers. That can, in a certain amount, be present in the dust. But that is minimal, not of high concern to people for the exposure.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess, for a lot of people, the high concern is that if it's used in, let's say, food containers.
Yeah,
and I think it's
used very widely.
The most widely used is the plastic containers, the jugs, the tumblers, and all that. And water is one of the most, the easiest way where BPA can get ingested by human.
Right.
Yes,
because but if you put the water bottle in heat?
No, this is not drinking water. Water that you use to cook your food, you put the water in the tumbler, you pour into your rice, and then
it's already there.
Yes, it's already there. It's not what you deliberately added. It's already there. Imagine you put your water in the bathtub. Container.
Right.
Then
in a pail.
Yes, in the pail, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take it bit by bit. Or if you cook your food, the water that you use for the cooking, mm-hmm. maybe not the whole thing does not come from the tap straight away. You keep your water first. Or,
okay.
Yeah.
So just heating it in a container.
Yes. And the tap water itself. Our tap water is not free of BPA.
Okay, let's see what the listeners think about this now.
LTY, you have a question on styrofoam.
Yes,
go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, LTY. Good afternoon, let's see how you can challenge Professor Mustafa today.
Okay, my question is about the, as Dr. Josh said, the white coffin, all right?
Yeah.
You know, there's some material from Bionatural, which some country has been using that type of material to produce those packages. Why can't we Malaysia encourage this type of practice? And another question, is it a lot of difference as to the cost of this production? I feel they are more safer. Like each time my wife buy a packet bag, I'm a bit worried whether to eat or not. Right? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number 03-7710-9000.
Okay, talking about this this polystyrene, we call it. There are, of course, alternatives which is made from cellulose or carbohydrate material, corn, starch and all that. But this material, there are a few disadvantages. Some of them are not robust enough.
So they're a bit soft, a bit flimsy,
soft,
yeah?
And they are expensive.
Right.
Of course, the technology is not there yet to produce in good quality and good strength. Still, polystyrene is used. But this polystyrene is not the same as what we are talking about as plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Polystyrene is not toxic as it is, unless it is heated very strongly. But polystyrene disturbs the environment. This material do not decompose very well, and it remains in the environment for a long time.
Yes.
When it goes into the water, it kills a lot of sea animals.
Oh, right. Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
So this is why we are very concerned about it.
Yeah. So, Prof, coming back to LTY's question, should he be worried when he has his, nasi kandar occasionally put into hot, piping hot
actually,
nasi
kandar? Actually, you know what I'm always concerned about? Number one is, how we love our teh tarik.
Yes.
Hot teh tarik in a
plastic
bag.
Right.
And that has BPA.
And the other is soups. Hot soups going straight into the plastic bag.
Okay. If plastic bags, there are BPA. But if you are talking about polystyrene, the only danger is if we microwave too long in the polystyrene, there are possibilities of the fumes, the vapor that comes out from the polystyrene can be a little bit toxic. But the material itself is not toxic.
So for the piping hot food that LTY is eating out of his white coffin, it's okay?
It's okay.
Not as bad.
Okay. Not as bad.
Okay, LTY, you'll be all right.
As the plastic bag.
Yeah, but don't microwave it.
Yeah.
Don't microwave it too long. Yes.
But Professor, don't you think that our system will just get rid of this toxin?
Our system.
How much of it is actually leaching into our system?
Okay.
That our system cannot handle it.
Our system has limitations. See, there are systems that are biodegradable. There are materials that are biodegradable. Some are not biodegradable. That means our body have no way to degrade it. So these are the things that can be carcinogenic at times, and they are toxic. Because you cannot break it down. So they will stay in the body, or sometimes they will not be absorbed. That is, we are lucky if they are not absorbed.
I mean, George, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Prof earlier on said that, sometimes with high heat, it leach into the environment and kill off the animals in the sea. I think that it's kill you off first before it kills off the animal. I'm scared, right? Okay. What do I think? Okay, right. There are only three ways that listeners can respond to this, right? Okay, number one, you say, okay, you know what? I don't believe it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two is that I'm so scared I'm going to change many things. Or you just kind of say, I give up because it's everywhere. So what can I do to change it, right? So which one are you, sir? Go, come on, give us a ring.
Oops.
Oh, okay.
Hi, James. No, we're missing all of them. Okay. I think you'll need James and Guru. You'll need to call us back. There's something wrong with the
Sorry place. About that. Okay. Yeah. It's a BPA. That's actually. It's a BPA. Is it messing up?
It is. So I went through that, right? The paranoid stage. After I did the show with Professor in 2011, I went completely off. Bought all glass containers.
Okay, glass.
Especially when you keep food in the fridge and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Got stainless steel tumblers for the children. No more, plastics and stuff. But after a while, I got, tired.
Yeah.
Because... outside. It's beyond your control.
Yes.
If you buy mineral water, it's in a plastic container. So what do you do then?
So are you saying
mineral water bottles?
No, mineral water bottle is okay. They don't have phthalates inside there.
Inside.
Unless the bottle is of a different quality. The normal one is okay.
This is a problem, you see. How would a layperson know?
I know, yes. Yeah. This is very difficult for the layman.
Let's hear from some listeners.
Okay, we have James who sent in a text. He says, I used to keep water in a plastic water, in the water bottles, and drank from them. And I stopped for a long time. Should I still be worried?
That's what Mira did.
No, and we all did. We all used the old fizzy drink containers and used to store, you know, water in the fridge. No, your mother did it. My grandmother did it.
Okay, let me...
My grandmother was smarter. She used old bottles that had alcohol in it, and then when it finishes, she would fill it up with water and put it in the fridge. Can you remember that?
Let me give some guidelines that I can think of for the layman. Okay, you know the tumbler that we use in the earlier days. The tumbler with brightly colored, blue, red. You know sometimes. They used to make pail with the same type of material.
Okay.
Black, not black, blue, red. That tumbler is very thick and it is very soft. Can you recall that? That material is very high in bisphenol A and plastics.
Mm-mm.
Okay. But the PET bottle, the bottle that we use for the mineral water, has no bisphenol A. So these are some guidelines. So if we keep water in that bottle, it's not so bad, but also the precaution is do not use the bottle for too long. The key thing is if the bottle is too much of scratches there, the material can leach out. So if you use a few times, that is fine. And also, water in the fridge is cold, so the leaching is very minimal. So that is a guideline. I don't expect everybody to throw away all the plastic bottles in their fridge.
Okay.
That is not what...
Rest assured, a lot of them are going to be reacting like me after the show.
No, plastics are safe to a certain extent. It's not really detrimental to health.
But if you can replace
them,
why not?
Yes, of course. Yes. Right. Yes.
And I agree about the biodegradable stuff. It's not as robust as you said. And we have a lot of curry and gravy that we want to put in.
But we survived so many years with them until just recently we started using them.
But we, you know, it was probably affecting us and we never knew why.
I think so.
Yeah. Right?
Like obesity, for example.
Mm. Yeah. But then we eat a lot as well, Professor.
We eat a lot.
Not just the plastic.
Well, it's easier to blame the plastics, right?
It's much easier to blame the plastic. One of the other reasons I'm very, very skeptical, Professor, is a lot of these studies have been done on animals.
Yes.
Not so much on human beings.
Correct.
So how does that translate to the human being?
Yes, there are a lot of controversies, a lot of difficulties in extrapolating. But that has already been taken into account. We do not extrapolate experimental work from animals straight away to human.
Yes.
That is not done directly. But of course, there are scientific ways to go about with all this data.
Yes.
So they are not straight away extrapolated.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in listening to what you think about this Chicago data. Because obviously prostate cancer is something that I feel very passionate about, and then because I see men who are affected so badly by this. So how much of this BPA is really... Because according to this study, this BPA is stimulating all sorts of stem cells through this estrogenic effect. Mm-hmm. So Prof, you know, what's your comment on this study from Chicago?
Okay, you see, they are doing it direct exposure.
Yes.
You see, that means they put BPA direct into the cells, and this thing does not happen that way in our body. That is called in vitro. What is really happening in the body is in vivo. They are different, actually. When BPA goes into our system, three things can happen. One of the more important ones is they may be conjugated. That means they may be broken down by the liver.
Okay.
So that is already making the chemical less toxic.
Okay, right. So our body, like what Miro was saying, that taking care of it, right?
Yes.
So that's the first ideal situation. BPA gets into your body, then your body kind of like inactivated.
Yes.
Okay.
The second thing that can happen is they go and bind to the receptor.
Right.
Directly. So, but in the real situation, the amount is very little. Mm-hmm. when you expose to the tissue directly, the amount is very high. You literally enclose the whole tissue with the chemical. But in reality, they are very little. So that is what can happen as well.
So the second possibility is that it will activate some unpleasant activation. But the thing is that you reckon that the amount is so small.
So small. Mm-hmm. And another thing that still with this effect is that when the BPA binds to the chemical, to the tissue, the effect is not equal to when estrogen binds to it. The effect may be 1 over 100 or 1 over 7 right. or 1 over 10 of the estrogen effect.
So this might be a bit exaggerated.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Yes. And the third thing is it may not be binding at all. It just circulates in the blood.
Thank you for that.
Yes. And what is the danger of that?
No danger.
Just
it's just circulating in the blood.
So this is interesting data, you reckon, but may not be reflections of, you know, really carcinogenic yet. So it's interesting to observe.
But, you know, once again, one read by the layperson, and I'm convinced that it's going to increase your risk
of cancer. One thing I'm quite sure is that BPA is not a carcinogen.
You're sure about that?
Yes, it is not a carcinogen. Nothing to do with cancer, but the cancer is caused by a different cascade which may be initiated by BPA.
Right, okay.
Yes.
I'm feeling mixed messages here, so I'm worried. I don't know what the listener is thinking.
In fact, I will be honest, Jess Pooven has said, the more I listen, the more I'm becoming confused. So we need to come to some kind of a clean conclusion at the end. Hi, Maslan. You have a question?
Hi.
Hi, Maslan.
Hi. Fairly short question. Was the rumor behind melting plastic bottles in oil to make our growing pisang disappear true? And maybe if it's true, how can we detect it? Do we put it on growing pisang and it will come out a different flame or such?
Okay, thank you very much, Maslan.
Thank you, thank you for that.
That is a very interesting question.
Okay, the Goreng Pisang question.
Yes. We know about this. And
We do?
Yes.
We know for sure?
I know, we know about this. But,
I always thought it was just a rumor.
No, it is a high possibility that it is happening. But I have been trying to catch from the market. I am not able to catch and get the sample from the market. See, this is happening because... But this is not bisphenol A alone. This is phthalates, actually. Plastics contain phthalates. They use this plastic material to fry bawang, you know, bawang onions.
Yes, fried onions, I was just going to say.
Fried onions, if you fry with this, they claim that they last longer.
And it's more crispy.
More crispy. This has been happening. In Indonesia, I've got some video clips to show that they are doing this.
Are you serious?
Yes, oh I've seen goodness. That. But... In Malaysia, I am not able to get a sample to confirm it. I have not...
Why are you unable to get a sample?
I don't know. When
just need the sample of the oil?
In
the food itself.
The food itself.
The bawang itself so you to confirm
have,
it.
So you have been testing it, but you can't find
I
the
can't
trace.
Find, I can't
in,
find.
Not in Malaysia, but you've seen how it was done
In Indonesia. Indonesia. I've got. I think it's in the YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
are they genuine?
Could just be a rumor.
I don't know.
What about the goreng pisang?
Yeah, goreng pisang, goreng this keropok leko, goreng ubi. When you fry with this phthalates, it is they claim that this thing will last crispy for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So that is the trick.
Is there any kind of like Ministry of Health investigations?
But if you
that
can't
happens?
Prove, I'm trying to prove it. I cannot find.
It might be an urban myth, right?
Okay. I don't know.
It may be. Right, but obviously it works in Indonesia.
I've seen a clip.
Okay.
I've not analyzed it.
Just don't know. Okay, yes. All right. He should really be.
That's right.
I don't know what to make of this.
Okay.
But we were going to go to a quick market update and continue the discussion. If you have a question on BPA, Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Muhammad and Dr. George Lee in the studio with us. Number to call is 0377 109000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. Good afternoon, and if you've just joined us, welcome. I'm Mira Sivasodhi, together with Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist. It's Friday, and we have a guest in our studio today, Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Muhammad, who is from a professor at the Department of Pathology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya. We're discussing bisphenol A, which is just doing our head in at the moment. I'm trying to understand the health hazards of bisphenol A. And the reason, you know, we decided to talk about it is because there has been talk about BPA and an increased risk of prostate cancer.
That's right.
Yeah, and many others, as the professor said now, obesity.
And diabetes.
Diabetes, yeah. And also, most of all, amongst children, does it have a more drastic effect on children? Yes. Why is that?
Okay, see, this bisphenol A, it acts on a certain critical window of exposure, especially during a developmental stage. Okay, so that is why the baby bottles is very important. Baby bottles are used to feed babies, and babies is the time where the development stage is very active.
Right.
See, and if the exposure happens at a certain critical window, the effect is more expressed.
Sure, that makes sense, doesn't it?
And babies, they use this bottle almost day in and day out. There is no other material that they use to put their food.
And we are using hot water to make...
Yes, and milk is fatty.
Yes.
So these are components that ultimately ends up in the babies having higher BPA. But it does not happen to every babies. Because only exposure at certain critical windows, you have got the effect.
But in Malaysia, it's banned, right?
It's banned already.
That's fine. Okay, BPA, so we don't have to...
bottles with BPA are not allowed.
Are not allowed.
Yeah, okay,
that's
right.
So, yeah, are you relieved, George?
We're relieved. That's right.
Yong, you have a question.
Yong, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
My question is, what about the styrofoam?
Oh.
We just spoke about styrofoam. Professor just explained that there is no real BPA.
The styrofoam is the polystyrene that I mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yong, so, you know,
we have another question, Yong?
Yes. It's in today's one of the headlines that even as to the separation of rubbish, they're all still clueless. So on this issue, what are they doing about it?
As far as BPA is concerned?
Yeah, I'll listen on
that. Okay, all right. Are we making steps? I know, Professor, the last time we spoke, you said you were trying to convince the authorities of the importance of BPA. Yes. Separation, I think, is another thing.
As I mentioned...
You said it was difficult.
It is not to say difficult. It is difficult in our country at the moment because the education is not enough. You see, I mentioned the BPA is quite abundant in our water.
Right.
So this is due to the rubbish and disposal activities that is going on. Because we don't dispose our plastic bottles, plastic materials in the right way, of course they end up in the water. And our water filtering system does not have the capacity to remove BPA.
Mm-hmm.
So it will come back in our drinking water.
Right.
So...
So are you saying filters don't work as
well? No, it will not remove. BPA is soluble, and it is a very small amount. So this is like boomerang. You throw, it will come back to you in the breakfast table.
See, who would have thought, you know, until we get somebody like this to explain the importance of separating your waste.
We need to recycle plastics.
And that happens
Well, it's just not just protecting the environment, protecting ourselves, our own health.
Yeah, it's coming back and biting you in the back.
Yeah.
So start separating your waste, everyone. Okay, we have Guru who's asking, how dangerous are the big plastic tanks at the top of our houses to store water?
That's another issue.
Okay.
That's another issue.
These are rubberized plastic tanks. I don't think it is 100% plastic, I think.
Right.
It is rubberized. So, rubber is a different chemical.
Okay.
Yes, it is a styrene.
Isoprene, right? Yeah. Is that natural?
It's natural, yes.
Okay.
It is a different category. It does not leach out in like what bisphenol A is leaching out.
Okay.
So, it is not really as toxic as what we are talking about on the BPA.
All right, okay. So that answers it.
Yes. Great. Raj, how are you?
Hi, Raj.
Hi. I'd like to just share an opinion or something that I saw, an observation.
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
This was where I used to love to buy this fried chicken. It's not the KFC of the world. It's just a normal, ordinary shop.
Okay.
One day when I went to buy the chicken, these guys were putting plastic straws. Into the oil, and the straws were just melting away. And
that's what I'm looking for.
Made me realize why the chicken was very crispy and delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, Raj, you may want to maybe share offline with our producer where exactly this is. Yeah. This professor is trying to find these culprits.
Yes. That's right.
I will do that offline. And another thing I saw was, and after that I stopped buying the goreng pisang in that stall.
All right.
The oil comes together with the plastic pack. Oh. It comes in the, what they do is they put the whole oil together with the plastic bag into the pot. I mean the oil. And everything melts together. And after that, I stopped buying the goreng pisang in that stall.
Okay. Thank you very much, Raj. Can you call us back and our producer will take down the location?
Well,
thank you.
Coming back to Raj's kind of opinions, if he spots something like this, clearly somebody is doing something wrong.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And is there something that, you know, Prof, I know you work in the lab in you know, University of Malaya. Is there something that, you know, the authority will bring to you to check in the toxicology department?
Yeah, this is where when the authorities come, I think they do not have this. They do not do this in the presence of authorities. So this is why.
Okay, so if we see it,
we buy that chicken, we take it to you.
Just send to me.
All right, okay.
Or you can send to the Ministry of Health.
Right, the chicken itself.
Yeah, yeah, of course. If there is
because the chicken,
we can check. Yes, yes. The chicken itself, it's very easy to check for these plastic materials. Mm-hmm. So it's not difficult.
Okay, so Raj, call us back. At least we get professor on the job.
We need to know where the location. And we can.
Oh, this is getting exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And we have another question, I think it's a very good. It's not a question; it's an opinion regarding the ban on the use of BPA in baby bottles. We now have BPA-free bottles.
Okay.
However, there are now articles suggesting that BPA-free bottles use alternative substances called BPS, which are equally bad, if not worse, than BPA.
Okay, that's what I mentioned just now.
Yes. Okay, we talked about this off air, but Prof, would you like to tell the listeners what exactly is BPS?
Okay, you see, BPA is already banned, and the industry is very keen to develop new chemicals to replace BPA, and BPS is one of them. BPS is a chemical that has similar properties as BPA,
mm-hmm.
but their toxicity and their chemical biological activity and all that is not known.
All right.
So it could be more hazardous or it could be safe. And one thing for sure, I have already conducted some studies to see how much BPS is present in the urine of Malaysians.
Right.
At random. And we found BPS in urine of Malaysian population.
Okay, so in University of Malaya, you're doing a lot of studies like this. I mean, what significant is the BPS in the urine?
Okay, that means there are a lot of chemicals, a lot of materials that is using BPS already.
Right.
It could be baby bottles, it could be whatever that is BPA free.
So this is an unknown entity. We have no idea five years from today whether we're going to see another article like this to say, okay, next time we ban BPS and then we're going to get BPX.
Okay, Professor, we need to move this one level up.
That's right.
How do we get to the root of this problem and solve it?
In University of Malaya, we are researching on BPS in Malaysia especially, and also we are looking at the biological effect, whether it affects obesity, it affects diabetes and so on. We are doing it at the moment. In fact, the research is ongoing. So, but we are not the only people working on this. There are not only BPS, there are many BP something something that are existing around that are being used to replace BPA.
Mm-hmm.
Because the industry is like that. They need to have something to protect the material, to make the industry alive.
So Teo is asking, should we just stay away from plastic completely?
If you can, that is the best. If you can. But
is that realistic?
Now you know why I went home.
Because it is not possible to live without plastic.
Right.
This is a fact.
It's a revolution that changed a lot of our lifestyle.
Yes,
and
did.
In fact, you know, is it fair to say that, like what you say, even if you avoid plastic, it is already in our ecosystem that we can't avoid?
Because we're so irresponsible.
Can you avoid water?
All right.
We're not separating our waste. We're not recycling.
Yes, yeah.
Well, they're multifactorial, really. It's because, number one, like you said, you know, many people are not recycling. And number two, I guess the industry is always wanting to get cheaper material, and stronger.
Yes.
And the more cheaper we have, the more unnatural it becomes, I guess.
Like so one time, melamine.
So I need to ask George, when you shop, do you take plastic bags from the supermarket?
Well, I've got a simple answer to that. I don't shop.
No, I finally got into the habit of carrying bags,
right,
you know, in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a habit. Once you start carrying your own bags, you know, you don't need plastic bags.
Well, I've said our mother used to go to the, you know, the market with those rattan. Yeah, bags. It's like, you know, like it's the same thing, right? Yeah. Now the rattan bags is a very expensive, trendy kind of material. But, you know, those days, it's just like I helped my mom to carry those rattan bags.
But then there's always this argument about how we need plastic bags to throw away our waste.
Actually,
they are biodegradable ones.
If we use plastic in the right way, it is safe.
And what is the right way?
Recycle the plastic and use it properly. We cannot blame the material. It is us who has to be blamed. How we use it. The material is safe in its own way. For example, if you don't have plastic, how are you going to sell your margarine?
Yep.
You can't put in the in a very old glass bottle, it will break everywhere in the supermarket.
True. Right.
So, it is how we use it. We have to be intelligent enough to use the material correctly, and education is more important. We must know how the material leach out from the container to the food. If we do it correctly, the material leaching is minimal, then we are all right. See, so education is important rather than to throw away all the plastic or to blame the industry.
Okay.
See?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, right, okay. I mean, I want to ask Mira this question because she always gets the final ask and to ask me, so George, what's your final kind of message? Yes. I'm going to ask her, right? Okay, so 4 years ago, you did this interview and that got you anxious. And then afterwards, you went to a bit of denial because you kind of said, wow, I know there's nothing much you can do about it. And then so it's actually probably not as bad as it is. Mm-hmm. And then now, I think that some people might actually go into the mode of give up. Like, you know, saying, look, you know, there's nothing much you can do about it. Or you're more confused.
No,
so
I'm
which
not,
one
I'm
are
not,
you?
I'm not, I'm very clear now.
You're
after
not very
what
clear.
Professor said at the end, you know what? Okay. Plastic has its purpose. So you need to, if you can, minimize the use and use it only when you have to and recycle if you can. It's as simple as that. So in areas in which you can, you know, not use plastic, pull back.
One example I can show you. You see, when you buy margarine, it comes in a plastic container. Normally, after you, the container is made to contain the margarine when from supermarket to your house. After you use it, the container is not useful anymore. But people use that to store oil. See, so that is not.
My mother uses it to keep food overnight in the fridge.
That is not what the plastic is made for.
All right, so that itself will change the the nature of the plastic.
Yes.
I guess
you abuse it already.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Right.
Mom, throw the model. She didn't listen to me when I told her.
Or she listened to you when you're there, and then when you leave, and then everything is back to normal. That's right.
So yes, your message, Professor. Before I move on to George.
I think these are all materials that are very, very valuable to us, and they are made for certain use. So the consumers must know what it is used for and use it correctly. And there is not much worry about the migration and all that, because plastics are supposed to be used once or twice. If you use it for 5 years, of course it is not what it is intended for. So you get a lot of migration, you get a lot of other unnecessary inconvenience or also side effects. So the best way is first learn what it is for. Second, use as instructed. Instruction is very important. And know when it is not supposed to be used, at what situation. Then we are safe. And throw at the right place or recycle in the right way.
Separate and recycle.
Yes.
George.
Well, Prof, I can tell you one thing. I learned a lot today. Okay. Well, I mean, I started off looking at this article knowing that this is prostate cancer potentially can be caused by BPA. I'm now convinced that BPA is in our system, and then there are many things that we can do to hold back, to reduce our body's exposure to, you know, unnatural things like that.
Yeah.
But I think think what excites me is that we begin to talk about it, and then through conversation, we bring it about awareness and hopefully change in the future.
Yeah. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Dr. George Lee, consulting neurologist, and Professor Dr. Mustafa Ali Muhammad, professor at the Department of Pathology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya, talking to us about one of the biggest scientific controversies of the past decade, actually, bisphenol A, or something called BPA, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.